Lord of Misrule is a novel about a dinky, cheap racetrack in West Virginia, and Lord of Misrule is a horse. At this point in the novel, Lord of Misrule is expected. They were all looking for a van like a Chinese jewel box, like no horse van that had ever been seen on the backside, something red and black and glossy with gold letters, Lord of Misrule, arched across each side. All the same, when a plain truck with Nebraska plates rolled into the mound on the hottest day of the year, they knew who it was. They were watching, though the van was unmarked and dirty white, one of those big box trailers with rusty quilting, like an old mattress pad you've given to the dog. The van bounced and groaned on its springs along the backside fence, headed for the stallman's office. Red dust boiled around it. They blinked as it dragged two wheels through the puddle that never dried, the puddle that had no bottom. They all waited for the van to tilt and lurch to a stop. It didn't even slow down. They peered through the vents when the van went by and saw the horse's head, calm, black, and poisonous of mien as a slag pile in a coal yard. He had a funny white stripe, like a question mark, on his forehead. The van stopped. Woof, down comes the ramp, and a kid, unhealthy looking like all racetrack kids, worm white, skull bones poking out of his skinny head, stood at the top of the ramp with a small black horse that couldn't even stand right. Lord of Misrule already rocked, or seemed to rock, on the flat floor of the van like a table with one short leg. And those legs, they were so swelled out from long ago, bowed tendons on both sides, that they were one straight line from knee to ankle, drain pipes without contour, except for the waffling left over from firing and blistering agents, and God knows what. "Old devil, get behind of me," said Medicine Ed. "I'm scared," Maggie said. "Why am I scared?" "You see what it's going to cost Spinoza here just to chase after him," Ducey said. "What do you mean?" Maggie said. "We're not racing him, are we?" Ducey added, "Because that horse don't know from pain." "Tell you what," Medicine Ed said, "he ain't get them bad wheels from standing in no stall." All kinds of people had come to watch from the grass bib of the shed row. Horsemen, grooms and pony girls, hot walkers and assorted riffraff. They were waiting. Then the terrible thing happened. The back door of the racing secretary's prefab office shack opened, and a large, bald man with mastiff jowls and tea-colored eyeglasses came out and stood on the wooden stair. It was Standish Chenille himself. People blinked, for the racing secretary was seldom seen. He descended the stair and scuffed at a leisurely pace towards Lord of Misrule's van. The face in the cab of the van was freckled, boyish and rough, with a western squint and a broad, snub nose. Mr. Standish Chenille leaned over and said to him, low, but not so low that everybody couldn't hear, "Barn Z, your people called ahead." His eyes pinched up, and all at once he had a hole similar to a smile punched into his heavy face. It was a welcome. A princely welcome. They all looked at each other. They could scarcely believe their ears. They looked at each other and they thought, this is big. And how can we get a piece of it? And we'll take anything, even a hoof paring, sawdust, loose change. The horses around them felt it too. Joe Dale Biggs were all of a sudden beating up the red dust under the hot walking machine, tearing around the aluminum carousel at a thrilled gallop that few of them ever showed at the far turn. "Going into the stretch, it's nobody's nothing, with nowhere making his move on the inside," Ducey called the race. A few people laughed. Lord of Misrule threw back his head, snorted out dust, and rolled his eye at the other cheap horses. His black tail arched, and ugly as Rumpelstiltskin, he let drop great soft nuggets, part gold, part straw, all the way down the ramp.